And we're back. Las Vegas International Press Club. Frank, so good to have you back here.
It's been a while. It's been like, what, 7 days?
It's been a whole 7 days. That's way too long.
I know it. We got some hot stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Reed. We're going to talk about the Coke brothers, the Pepsi brothers, Dr. Pepper.
We've got to talk about Dr. Pepper.
I know it. What was it, 10, 4, 7? What is that? What's the Dr. Pepper brothers all about?
Are we going to talk about pot this week? We talked about pot last week.
I know we did. We're popped up. So it's like, okay, so anyway, what is going on with Reed? He wants
to change the First Amendment so the Koch brothers don't have a voice. And I'll tell you, the Koch brothers had an amazing op-ed in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago. And when you read that, they talked about all the different jobs that they provided to this country, all the taxes that get paid. And if you think about it, there's the TotalTaxInsights.org, which is the layers of taxation. You have the different types of taxes, the payroll taxes, the federal taxes that get paid. You've got all kinds of different real estate taxes they pay. They pay tremendous real estate taxes because they own buildings. And the taxes go on and on and on in terms of what the Koch brothers. And, here's another thing on the taxes that just came up. There's a new infographic put out by the Beer Institute. They do a great job of beer. They do a great job of communicating how much in taxes. When you buy a bottle of beer, did you know 40% of that bottle of beer goes to taxes? Every single bottle of beer. And we're going to be talking about vodka in a little bit.
I don't know
what that number is for vodka, but it's got to be a big number, too.
That's why I'm glad we got alcohol inside the house. We got some Texas girls inside here today. And we got my wife is in here because we got a lot of women inside here. And she is going to keep things in line. So this is going to be a hot show today.
We need the women to keep us in line because we're out of control, Frank.
I'm amazed your wife's not in here today. This is going to be a hot show. So like I said, so anyway, I'm glad we brought up Senator Reed because he's got, they said he has been on the floor, the House floor, every day this week. I mean, he is like possessed with these
talking about
brothers.
Pepsi.
Yeah, he's talking about Pepsi. And he's talking, so the Keystone Pipeline, I don't know why we don't launch that. I don't understand that. I mean, that's more job for this country.
Well, what's interesting is we are refusing at a 10% discount oil in this country.
I know.
We had talked with Ian Banding before, the founder of the Canadian National Stock Exchange, and we get our oil from Canada about a 10% discount, and the notion that we wouldn't refuse a cheaper oil than what it would typically be is just nonsense. And all the jobs that it creates. And if you take a look at the picture of the pipelines going through Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska is lined with pipelines.
It is. There's more pipeline in Nebraska than any other state.
That's a good fact.
It is.
So there is a lot of pipeline through all our states that run through our states getting whatever we need to have transported back and forth, whether it's natural gas or whether it's oil that goes across our states, and the notion that a pipeline that would create so many jobs is being thwarted over and over again is unthinkable. But, it's been a great week here in Las Vegas. I'll tell you, I've spent some time in San Diego because that's where I live
from time to time.
I visit from time to time, and it was very, very unfortunate. Let's see, you just hand me
– what do you think about this housing finance bill that got – thinking about defeating that. I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, here they're gonna put another bill on the floor. We're gonna go back to the old times where they're gonna go out there and do this finance bill where they're gonna go back and put more housing where they're gonna be able to restructure the loans so people can take us right back where we was 5 or 6 years ago. What do you think about that, Leonard?
It's interesting. I haven't read this one, but I do know that there is a huge difference between the private sector and the public sector and how effective they are. And we take a look at where student loans have gone over the last 5 years. 4 years. They've over quadrupled. There's about $1.15 trillion in student loans. And really the mishandling and the misappropriation of funds. We had a meeting with some folks up in Canada, and it's when we're looking at the government sector, it's absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Right.
The misappropriation. We've seen it with the green energy.
Right.
And the funds going into green energy and these companies going bankrupt. So, private businesses, they have to look for profit. And one of the things that we were talking a little bit earlier about, prior to the show, is a fact. You know, how quickly a for-profit enterprise up on the in Summerlin, the Summerlin Center that they're building, how quickly that is coming up.
Oh, very
and
much
compare
so.
And contrast that to the government project in San Diego, where all they're doing is putting flowers in, and it's taken a couple years to put flowers on the boardwalk. and you know, it's
the dogs,
you know, huge,
like it.
Huge
the dogs
difference,
like
and
it.
We see that with Obamacare. And Obamacare is really going to add all extra different layers of cost and administration, and doctors can't see as many patients as they used to. So, you know, interesting problems that need to be solved in this country, but unfortunately we live in an extraordinary city here in beautiful Las Vegas, the entrepreneurial capital of the country. And wasn't it great when we had John Lobb in last week when he was discussing
great,
all the different
guest.
Activities
great
that were
guest.
Happening here in this town? So.
Right, and, you know, that's another, you know, bringing up John Lobb, one of our next guests that I want to bring in early because I don't know, we are very fortunate to Chris Harvey is in the house, and she is the president and CEO of the Design Factory. I hope your mic is on. Are you there, Chris?
Am I here?
Oh, hey. There, I like
hey,
you.
Frank.
And she's
nice
out of
to
Texas,
the
beautiful state of Texas.
The beautiful state of Texas, the large state of Texas.
It is a big state.
And what part of Texas were you from?
I grew up in Dallas, but I moved to Las Vegas from Corpus Christi.
Okay.
Quite a big change from the beach to the desert.
How long have you been here now?
About 26 years, Frank.
You like it here?
I love it here.
Las Vegas
has been good to us.
Did you meet your husband here or did you meet him
No,
there?
I met him in Corpus.
Oh, so did he bring you here?
He brought me here.
Oh, that lucky guy, I tell you what. You wasn't a dancer, was he? Then you come here. Did you just go right into designing?
No, I was doing trade show exhibits in Corpus Christi before I moved here. Zal came out here. He was an environmentalist, went to work for Environmental Technologies in Nevada, and then brought me out here, and I decided to sell exhibits here.
And so can you tell us a little bit where Design Factory, how it come about and what's going on now?
Well, I was in the industry for about 10 years with another manufacturer, Skyline Displays. Left that company after 10 years and decided to go out on my own with my partner, Krissa Chen. We started a union labor company for the trade show industry in 1989, and then in 1998, and then in 99, we decided to go out and start another company, the Design Factory, and that's a company that provides trade show exhibits for the convention industry. We design them, we build them, we sell them, we rent them, we take care of any marketing needs that anybody has for the convention industry. And Las Vegas is the place to be for that.
You are the mecca of conventions.
We're in the mecca. The largest convention business in the world is in Las Vegas. We're so lucky.
And is it the convention business that is in full swing? I mean, are you remember people saying them?
It's
market
back.
Was dying down, but is it back?
Yeah, during the economy, when it went under, we really had a pretty big hit. Conventions were being canceled. People weren't spending the money to come in. And in the last 3 years, I can honestly say that I think it's back. CES had the biggest year they've ever had in 45 years. NAB was a huge show for us.
How many people come to CES, would you say? You got a number on that?
Well, they used 2 million square feet of exhibit space this last year. It was the biggest show they've ever had, so I'd say that's a real positive note for our industry.
Wow. 2 million. I mean, that takes up the whole convention center? Does that overflow into some of the...
Lots of places. CES spreads out all over. The convention space in this town is about 10.8 million square foot of space. So we've got a lot of space available and lots of different venues. And it's really grown over the last 10 years from the Mandalay to the Sands. So we're pretty spread pretty thin, but there's shows going on every day. It's amazing.
And so you've actually designed the booths. You put them up, you tear them down.
We work with marketing departments and everybody from small businesses to major Fortune 500 companies. And we figure out what their needs are going to be at a certain show that they might be coming to town. We design their exhibit. We either sell them an exhibit. But to tell you the truth, Frank, today probably 98% of our business is rental. People are not wanting to ship in these big custom exhibits anymore, so we're providing them with custom modular rentals. They look like custom booths, and they save them a lot of money.
And so what do they do? After they're done, then what, you store them? You have a storage facility?
We have a storage facility if they want to store, but they're just renting the booth, so they just walk out and go home. If they want their graphics, we can store those for the next show. But we provide them a turnkey package. We do the design, we do the setup, we do the teardown, we print their graphics, and we also provide the union labor on the floor. So all they have to do is walk in and sell their product. They're happy. Happy campers.
What kind of lead time do they usually need on that?
We like about 3 months out, but you know, people have come to us a week before the show, and we can provide them with something. So we're real flexible. We've been here for a long time. We know all the venues, and we know all the ins and outs of Las Vegas. So it's a great business for us.
So how would you say some of this has changed over the years? Technology seems to play such a role today. Has technology changed your business at all, or you know, with the displays that they have on the booths, and you know, what do you see?
Well, I'd say you see a lot more technology in the exhibits, from AV to digital things.
Go ahead.
Depends on what their needs are for a show.
And sometimes they bring the technology because they've got their own media departments.
Yes.
So what you do is your booths accommodate the technology that they bring.
And we also rent AV. So we have flat screen monitors. We have a huge inventory of those. So really we can provide them anything they want. And if we don't have it in-house, we have the partners here in town that we work with that can hook them up.
So you have the computer-aided design. You have all the design.
Yes, so we have in-house design. We have a design department.
Okay.
We have in-house designers that do the designs on the computer, give them 3D renderings. The booths look exactly what they're going to finish on the show floor, and they get a preview of what their booth's going to look like before they get to the show.
Wow, that's amazing, really, if you think about it.
We used to hand draw these graphics. Now it all comes over the computer.
I used to be in the jewelry industry, and we used to go to Javits, and I'll never forget when it moved from Javits in New York City in Manhattan to here, and what a fundamental shift that was. And I always thought way back in the day when I was in the jewelry industry, wow, this is the place where you know everything ought to be, because it's such an amazing place to have a venue at. Everybody wants to come to Vegas.
Well, and the neat thing about Vegas is not only do you have the exhibit space and the venues available, but you have the hotels and you have the entertainment and you have the restaurants and you have the full gamut. So people love to come to Vegas. And what they found out is shows in Vegas are usually better shows for them than in other venues in the country, because people come and they stay and they do good business. So instead of people not attending the shows or their workers not working, it's actually the opposite.
So you've been doing this for a long time. What's your vision? Where do you see the company going? What do you see the future being?
Well, I just hope it gets bigger and bigger. I hope the rental industry continues to grow. I think with the rise in drayage, which is what the show contractors charge the exhibitors to take their booth from the dock to the floor space, that's increased about 488% in the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So people are looking for cost savings in their marketing, and renting an exhibit and having everything done in the venue city, I think is going to be a continued growth plus for all the exhibitors coming in.
Every once in a while you hear about competition from other markets. Are we still price competitive? Because the pricing of the hotel rooms has gone up a little bit. Does that weigh into the decision-making process? Or when we look at the whole package, what it costs to set up, what it costs to deliver a convention, are we still one of the lower cost providers?
I think we're extremely competitive. We have clients that ship their exhibits all over the country, whether it be to New York or San Francisco. And when I get pricing in those cities, it's astronomical. The cost of labor, the cost of services is still way up compared to what we do here in Las Vegas. So I think that competitively, we're right in there.
And
they're going to keep coming.
And if you're going to look at competition, what markets are those competitions?
Chicago. Chicago is a big, and Orlando has been growing.
Yeah.
A lot of these places, Nashville is a plan for a new convention center. Javits is still busy, and in San Francisco, Moscone.
Yeah, but New York is just prohibitive, and so San Francisco, really, in terms of cost. Hotel rooms are $500 a night there,
yes.
which is
and
ridiculous.
And labor is extremely expensive. I mean, people, and then you've got the international exhibitors that are coming over.
Yeah, what is international? When you say international, what are you talking, Paris? You're talking London? What do you, when you say that, what am I thinking about?
Well, you know, there's trade shows all over the world, and the industry is growing so much. But when people are exhibiting in Paris or they're exhibiting in China, it's a whole different market than we have here in the United States. Companies are going in a month ahead and building an exhibit out of wood and laminate, and when it's over, they tear it down and throw it in the trash. So when they come over here, they have to learn a whole new way of exhibiting, which is the way we do it in the States. We're getting a huge influx of international exhibitors, and people are bringing their product to the U.S. to sell. So the international marketplace is growing such that even in NAB, we had companies, we had a company, two companies from the Czech Republic, we had a company from the U.K., a company from Japan, and one from India were our clients on the show. So we're always learning something new. It's great.
You know, well, I was thinking maybe Ukraine, because I saw Biden been going there quite a bit. So I didn't know if that's we're going to be doing some stuff there. What do you think?
I think they're going to be coming here because they need a little break is what they need.
But maybe Putin's going there. I mean, he seems like he wants to go there.
Or maybe he'll have a convention here. Who knows?
Who knows? What do you think?
Well, I think I'd like to stay in Las Vegas myself. You can go to the Ukraine.
You know what's fascinating about this, though, because everybody always talks about how much the technology is replacing the need for face-to-face. But what you're saying is that the trade show business, which is a face-to-face business,
absolutely
is increasing. And, you know, the reality is face-to-face is vitally important.
It is. And I'd say 95% of the people that attend these trade shows are buyers and decision makers. So when you spend your money to be in a trade show, you know that your marketing dollars are spent well because the people coming through your booth are going to be the decision makers.
Yep.
And what a great way to get all those people in one place.
And there's training that goes on at these conventions for whatever that particular industry is. It's
right.
It's fascinating.
Seminars and education training. They can do it all in the town and still have a fun time while they're here.
Now, I was kind of curious, you know, we talk about the world comes here, and a lot of times the city ignores, you know, what goes on the Strip with respect to conventions. To what extent do the experts here, because we have a lot of expertise here in the city of Nevada, or the city of Las Vegas, to what extent do we take advantage of that and have our experts that are presenting at some of these symposiums?
You know what? Every association, which are the people that are generally putting on the shows, call in their speakers and their expertise. I'm not familiar enough with knowing who speaks at the different shows to really give you an educated answer, because I think each industry has their special people and their speakers that come in.
I think that there are some great, good speakers that come to Las Vegas. That's one good thing I do like about Vegas.
That's an advantage that we have, because we have the experts that come in from all over
like
the country.
Just like at the Money Show this week. Great speakers.
Several days,
several days.
Amazing people that were coming and speaking.
Right.
And that happens every week.
Right. And, you know, you said something earlier, and I think that one thing that we do have is the hotel cost. Very, very competitive versus, like I say, Moscone, San Francisco. I mean, high cost.
And the customer service is incredible. I mean, the customer service and the training that the employees get at the hotels, these people come in and they get great customer service, compared to a lot of the other major cities.
I think one of the key advantages
is Chicago, choice. They'll shoot you. Here, we kind of shake your hand. Yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of like here. You get a handshake.
You miss the yellow tape is what you're telling me. Chicago.
You miss the yellow. Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah. We don't get yellow tape here in Las Vegas.
Chicago uses a lot of yellow tape.
Chicago's where it all started.
Well, Obama liked it. I mean, that's where he likes it. He's from. So what do you think, Leonard?
Hey, you know, I think one of the great things about here is people have choice when they come to visit here. So there are going to be people from all kinds of different economic groups. And they can stay for $29 in a hotel, or they can pay $160 for a luxury hotel. So
absolutely,
you've got that flexibility. So you've got the power to draw.
Well, we got the mansion where you can pay $20,000, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's what we like about here.
That's right.
You can fly in on a corporate jet.
That's right.
Or you can
into Henderson.
Or you can drive. Leonard drives over here. He likes driving.
I like driving.
You drive a lot. You're a driving man.
I am.
Or you can have someone drive you over like Chris. Chris has people drive her around in the city.
When I'm lucky.
So what are some of the bigger shows? You got NAB. That's a huge show. There's some big
National Association of Broadcasting was a huge show for us this year. Right now we've got Recon on, which is the shopping center show.
That's always exciting.
For realtors and anybody that does business with developers and shopping centers, that's a big show here in town. There's also another show, Hospitality Design, for people that are doing retail finish out. And I mean, there's a show for every industry and every topic.
I mean, we're just a mecca of shows.
We're just a mecca.
We are. We're a mecca.
And as the Design Factory, we want to help all these people. We want to make them successful.
How do people get a hold of you?
Well, we get a lot of our business to stay frank on the internet, on our website. We've got a great SEO program through Ranking Edge that helps us with our SEO. And
What's SEO stand? Is that the search engine optimization?
Search engine optimization.
People just find you on the internet.
They find us on the internet. They write us an email, and they trust us to handle their marketing dollars. So it's amazing what you can do over the internet these days.
Is that Waylon Jennings in the background? Who's that now?
I don't hear
you. Low places. That's where I found you in some low places, Leonard.
Low places, yeah. Garth Brooks, right?
Garth Brooks.
You know, I ran into the band at the Desert Inn when he was playing in town one time. The whole band, Garth Brooks band. It's kind of cool.
Music in the background for our Texas friend. We're glad, Chris. I'm glad you come on. And
how'd it go so fast? It can't be done already.
It's my time up.
Not possible.
How do we get a hold of you again, Chris?
We're here in Las Vegas. You can get on our website, which is www.dlikeandogflikeandfranklv.com. Or give us a call at 702-656-0555. I'd love to help you.
And if we can't find you, we'll find Zoll at what bar?
He's not real picky. I think right now he's out buying a Harley, so I don't know.
That's my boy. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Low places. We'll be right back. Thanks a lot. Places where the whiskey drowns and the beer takes my blues away.
This is Leonard Wright, money doctor for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, reminding you that the only certainty is uncertainty. Today's quiz is, what is the VIX? A measure of the broadest index of stocks in the United States? An international index of sovereign debt? A measure of how much your portfolio can rise or fall? Or none of the above? So in today's volatile markets, what perspective should we have to help shepherd us through the market? Four key areas are helpful. 10-3-1, three key pillars of investment wisdom. YouTube Hans Rosling's 200 Years, 200 Countries. Spend some time on 360financialliteracy.org. 10-3-1, every 10 years, the capital markets experience 10 market corrections of 10% market declines or more, three bear markets of 20% market declines or more, and one market collapse of 40% or greater. Just as it always has been, the next market decline is just around the corner. If we all know the three key pillars of investment wisdom, we could be much better off. Make no mistake about it, there is much, much more to be known about investments, but simplified knowledge of these three key pillars will have you looking at investing with your advisor in a fundamentally different light. Pillar one, how much can my investment rise and fall? Pillar two, how long does it take to grow my investment? Pillar three, how do I know my investment is a good value? Technically speaking, it is standard deviation, rule of 72s, and alpha. Money Bites to look forward to as we explore these pillars in depth. This is Leonard Wright, money doctor for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and you have been listening to Money Bites. Find us at 360financialliteracy.org.
Las Vegas International Press Club, the premier press club in the world. Las Vegas, Nevada is known as the mecca for conventions, trade shows, and entertainment. Business leaders from around the world visit Las Vegas several times a year. And what do these worldwide leaders need? A place to privately conduct interviews with the press. A secure and intimate venue to dine and relax. A place to privately meet with other senior-level executives. The Las Vegas International Press Club provides That's all that and more. The Las Vegas International Press Club is a refined venue for intimate interviews, more privacy, more leaders, more opportunities. Find out more at lvpressclub.com. That's lvpressclub.com. Privacy, prestige, productivity. The Las Vegas International Press Club, the premier press club in the world. Learn more at lvpressclub.com.
How successful is your retirement plan? On average, only 25% of participants are on track to achieve a successful retirement. At Unified Trust, we find that simply unacceptable. That's why we developed the Unified Plan, a retirement plan that actually works. It's a plan that's personalized to each individual's unique circumstances and goals. And since Unified Trust is a discretionary trustee, we're able to make changes automatically, helping you stay on track to achieve a successful retirement. The success of a retirement plan should be based on the number of employees able to retire successfully. And our Unified Plan solution does just that, nearly tripling the industry average. It's time to find out how successful your plan is. Visit UnifiedTrust.com today. Investments are not FDIC insured and are not deposits of or guaranteed by Unified Trust Company. As with any investment, there are risks, including the risk of losing principal.
Oh, Frank. Frank,
hey, we're back. You know what we forgot to do, Leonard?
Oh, I was bashful.
I'm embarrassed, but, you know, we had, as you know, we just had on the show one of the best companies, design companies in town, and she got a special award. And if you don't mind taking the time.
Yeah, Enterprise and Women Magazine. They, you know, it's amazing, this award. It's a national award.
A national award, too.
And, you know, the support must be active support, mentorship, leadership in the community. And it's a very rare honoree to have. And we have her in studio today. We forgot to mention it. It's a privilege to have somebody with this award. So she won the award as Woman of the Year, Chris Harvey, Enterprising Women Magazine.
I know.
So amazing. So I guess I was shy and bashful, didn't bring it up. I should have. It's on my sheet here. And gosh darn, I don't know how that happened. Chris, it was so good having you here in studio today. It was a lot of fun. And where was that music at? That Pump It? Is Pump It around here someplace? Let's bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back.
We're going to be talking, this is Black Eyed Peas. We're going to be talking about Black Eyed Pea vodka.
Yeah, this is the best of the best.
And did you want to do the introduction here?
Yeah, I'd be like to. In the house, I've got Trey and Deborah Nichols, and that's the mother and son team. I've the privilege of meeting them on the phone.
Founders and CEOs and presidents, or whatever it is, it's cool stuff.
It's Trey Trademark Vodka. They flew in from Dallas, Texas. Two nights you've been here. What? 2 days now,
yeah,
right?
I've been here two nights, and glad to y'all guys having us here. It's a privilege to us getting our word out a little bit, and it's lots of traveling time, but glad to be here.
We are.
I think you're in the best business because really alcohol is really a celebration of life. We all toast one another when there's a good event happening in life, and what happens when people come to Las Vegas is it's usually a celebration of family, because I can't tell you how many times I've come here and people call me up on the phone, let's get together, and how do we celebrate? We usually celebrate with dinner and good spirits. And now we've got a new... So tell us a little bit about your Black Eyed Pea vodka.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate that. Mom and I both started this business, and we're kind of celebrating it together. We've never really been in business together. I've grown Black Eyed Peas for... she had a processing facility, and I was the farmer, so I grew them for Mom, and now we're in business. So it's a little bit different, but it's a celebration, just as you say.
So it's vertically integrated then. So you're actually growing the Black Eyed Peas on the farm.
Yeah, I've grown Black Eyed Peas. The family has since 95. We have a processing facility there in Millshew. Got a lot of farmers that grow for us. I grow them myself. Been farming financially since I was about 20 years old. And I grew also cotton and corn and wheat and Black Eyed Peas. So that's kind of how it goes. I supplied to Mom, which she supplied to canners and packers like the Bush Brothers and Fermano Foods and people like that.
Yeah, and I buy the bush beans. I buy them in the store, right? The same dog. People, right?
Yeah.
So I'm buying your food. I buy your food.
We fed the prisoners in the state of Texas as well with the dry beans. So, you know, we had a good little thing going there, but the conditions in our part of the world changed a little bit with the drought and things like that. Farming's a little bit tougher, and we've been looking for a value-added position for a long time for the dry beans. And oh, Trey Boy, he came up with one.
Milshue, Texas, right?
Yeah, you blink and you miss Milshue. Well, it's a town of 4,000, so everybody knows everybody's business there. So.
And Milshue's whereabouts in Texas is that at now?
Milshue's about an hour and a half northwest of Lubbock, close to the New Mexico border. Things are really drying up there in Milshue, and that's kind of why I got the idea to get in the vodka business. Like I said, I was in the bean business, but my irrigation wells were drying up, and as a young man not owning my land, having to rent it was really competitive. Just having a really hard time, so kind of sold the farm to come do this adventure.
And I'm going to let the audience out there know the reason why they're in the studio is because of Canada-Nevada Business Council. I got approached by a friend of mine that knows them very well. Nicole reached out to me, and what we wanted to do is that they wanted to get their vodka up into Canada. And so the last couple of days, we've had some people in town here in Las Vegas that flew down from Canada, and the organization that was here got together with Trey and Deborah, and put together a plan. And so I think when you've already got your state license, right, Trey?
Yeah, we do. And we're pending federal right now, which everything's going very, very good. Any day we'll have federal licensing, and then it's going to take us another 30 to 40 days on label approval once that happens. But actually in contact with the feds today, and everything's on track.
Good. And so hopefully I would say within the next 4 months, you tell me, but the time limit, we're hopefully going to get some good trademark vodka up into Canada.
You know, all's planned that I'll be distilling the first of next month is the way it's kind of going. Like I said, pending product label and all that good stuff. There's going to be some more obstacles getting it into Canada with their labeling and their approval, right, and stuff like that. So hopefully 4 to 5 months you'll see it up in Canada, hopefully in Texas and surrounding states within the next couple of months.
Okay, because I want to get that up there before it gets too cold.
Right.
Well, typically speaking, northerners don't really consume black-eyed peas. They look at it like it's cow food.
Yeah.
Basically, so we're trying to give them a form where they can consume them and drink
right,
your peas.
Right. Well, the thing is that an RFP, a request for proposal, come out of Canada, and they wanted glutton-free vodka. And the only people in the world that had glutton-free vodka was you guys that made it available. Is that correct, Trey?
Yeah, that is. We've actually produced in Kentucky right now. I've seek some help with some master distillers up there that consult for some large brand names. And he really didn't have time for me, but he goes, "Man, you've got such a unique product. This is a challenge to me. I'm all on board." You know, he's been down to Fort Worth a few times to help me out with setting up the distillery. And also, it's a gluten-free product, which is pretty amazing, but also it's non-GMO. So this is produced on the family farms back in West Texas, and the farmers that I knew and grew up with. We're not genetically modifying these black-eyed peas, so you're getting a really clean product with the black-eyed pea.
Do they do GMOs for black-eyed peas?
No, they don't. The black-eyed peas are such a small niche market in agriculture.
Yeah.
That some of the larger companies hadn't stepped in there and genetically modified them. There's just really not a need for it.
So what made you say vodka? I mean, I got these black-eyed peas. What made you make that transition to this would make a great vodka?
Yeah, well, at first I didn't know that it would, to be honest. I owned a harvest company, had combines and stuff like that besides just my farming. So I went around harvesting black-eyed peas for the farmers that grew for the family at the cleaning facility. And the combine naturally cracks about 10 to 20% of the black-eyed peas. They got a real soft skin on them, so they're real brittle. So just through the process of harvesting, some of them get split, and that's waste. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, in my combine late one night, what in the world could we do with these splits?
You wasn't drinking a beer in the combine, was well, you, Trey?
On the turn row.
Some of your best business is done at a bar or different places. Maybe a combine
or
with
the
a
turn
beer
row.
Or two.
Absolutely. You know,
it was actually my older brother and I. And, you know, I was like, Guy Wayne, you know, these peas, they're not worth harvesting. It was another drought. The yield's not there. The quality's not there. And I said, it's not worth my diesel fuel of harvesting these black-eyed peas, you know. It's just not going to work. What else can we do with them? He goes, heck, let's just make some beer out of them. I said, wow, why not vodka? And so from then on, you know, I started looking at the nutrients of the black-eyed peas and saw that it did have starches. It does have hard starches where hard starches are a little bit harder to release to turn it into sugar. But we have done it in Kentucky with some special methods. And so there you go.
This whole process is unique. Nobody else does this at all.
Yes, that's correct. We're the very first ones to do it.
In the world out there.
Yes. That we know of. And it's a true, right. You know, we like to say it's a field to firehouse finish. And so, you know, we know the farmers that produce it. We know the person, my oldest son, Chad, that and his family that has the warehouse that receives it. And the quality is kept separate and segregated. And so, you know, and it comes straight to us. So we have our hands up on every aspect of what goes into our vodka. And that's pretty unique. It's well, not.
Yeah. Yeah. And the firehouse is old renovated fire station that we have there in Fort Worth. Which hits home a little bit with me. Since I was 18 years old, I was an EMT volunteer, and dad was fire chief, so been around that my whole life. So, you know, the field to firehouse finish, it hits home a little bit. And just, you know.
I like it. So what I think is really unique about this whole story is that you've been putting almost 3 years of good, hard labor into making this happen for you.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things about getting into this business is you're out all that capital before you ever see a real return on your money. You know, you put a money down on your equipment, and it takes a year to have your equipment built. And then when you bring it into the city, you know, you got to get change of use on your building, and then state and federal permits. It's just a long process, and it's a really challenging business to get in without seeing some return.
And then all of us in this room here understands it takes a lot to get a return on your money. So it's very understandable. And so now you're going to hopefully see the proof of your labor, because it's and I think the folks that you've met from Canada, they're very excited about it. I know that. And I think that you've also met some other people here on your trip. So we're and Las Vegas would be a great place to have some of that black-eyed pea vodka.
Well, yeah, you know, in the South, we eat black-eyed peas on New Year's for good luck. So maybe here in Vegas, if
we
people,
could have good luck every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, every day. Right there
drink,
on the slot
drink
machine.
Lucky.
Yeah,
drink
we,
lucky.
We can get people
I like
it
that. It's
I like
lucky
it. We
vodka.
Can get drinking it every day. We're not allowed to drink here in the radio house. I don't know if you knew that. You're not allowed to have booze inside the radio.
I got
to
put my flask away. You know, I've been breaking the rules the whole time.
Well, you're drinking all the time, Leonard. I mean, I don't know if no one knows it. Chris, you're not put that bottle down. So that is very, very interesting. And so you've got the master distiller. That's the one that holds the recipe, right? I mean, you was telling me that. What do you call him?
He's my master distiller dash consultant. Went to lots of distiller schools up north and trying to learn exactly what was going on. But, I mean, there's guys that have been doing this for 50 years that know exactly what's going on. You know, I'm fairly new to the business, so I needed a little bit of help. And he's coming down on the 26th, hopefully. We're going to start distilling some water and getting the steel heated up and, you know, cleaning everything up and all the control systems going. And, you know, just, you know, it's kind of like an oil refinery, you know. You got to have control of your columns and everything just right to make it work.
And the temperatures and things like that.
Yeah.
So when you get roaring here, I guess I'm allowed to ask a question. How many bottles are you going to be able to produce here, Trey?
You know, that's kind of the weird thing. You know, a lot of distillers start out a little bit small. I started out a little bit on the larger side. I have a 600-gallon pot still and lots of fermentation to match it. So right now we're projecting that we can do about 3,400 bottles a week.
Okay, so that's going to equate to, about 35,000 bottles a year or?
Yeah, 3,400 times 52.
Yeah,
yeah,
what is that?
It's
what
right
that?
In there.
What is that,
it's a right big number. But, you know, I have a question here, you know, because this is an important question that came in. How do you take your vodka? How do you drink it? How do you prepare it? Is it, you hear shaken, not stirred for the martinis, but, you know, what do you recommend with respect to yours?
Okay, yeah, so what we've produced there in Kentucky, samplers and everybody else that comes in and tries my actual vodka, they go, oh, Black Eyed Pea vodka, you know, they're a little skeptical, and they smell it, and they kind of get this weird look on their face, and then they take a little sip, and they set it right back down, get another weird look on their face, and they go right back for it. So I would describe it as kind of a curious taste. Nobody can really place it. It's
got a nutty taste, you
it
say?
It does. So a lot of the fusel oils that other grains have oils in it. The Black Eyed Pea is very dry. It doesn't have a lot of oils. So a lot of the oils aren't coming over in the distillation of a Black Eyed Pea, so it's giving it a real crisp, clean taste at first. And then the finish, you're getting that slight nutty bean flavor on it.
So it's really best neat, then?
Exactly. On the rocks. It's a sipping vodka, but it's going to lend itself really well. We call it Marpinis instead of Martinis.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to lend itself really well to the dirty Marpini.
Now, what's the alcohol content on it?
Yeah, what we're putting in a bottle, you know, to make a vodka, you have to hit 192 proof. Of course, we dilute that down to what we're putting in a bottle is 80 proof, just pretty much a normal vodka.
So you could, but would you be able to make it like 100 proof if you wanted to?
Oh, I could, but it'd be hard to drink. It'd kind of burn your lips a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, but like shine, like when you have shine, and I imagine going to Kentucky, you've had shine.
Sure.
That's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I have. We actually have a whiskey column, too, so we could produce some black-eyed white shine if you wanted
wow.
to. And
wow,
we plan on
good.
It, but I believe in the future, years to come, the nutty flavor of the bean that's coming over in the distillation will lend itself well to an oak barrel. So I think in a whiskey production, it'll do really good.
So what's the difference between whiskey versus the vodka? Because whiskey, there's more process in it, like the aging that you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, you know, a whiskey doesn't hit quite as high a proof as a vodka. So a whiskey column comes off about 140 or so proof, just depending on the distiller. Vodka hits 192. So in a whiskey, at 142 or 40 proof, you're bringing in more of the flavors of your mash and the impurities and stuff like that. And
well,
then, of course, you age it.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, it does. Man. It really does. And a vodka, you're just cleaning
I know where we're
up.
Going tonight. I know. I've already figured out where we're going to dinner
Texas?
At tonight, Trey. No.
We're
going to Chris's house. I know Zoll's got some of that in the back room. Well, you know what? I'm going to jump on it. We got another guest coming on. Trey and Deborah, I've really enjoyed having you online. And we're going to get some... hear some more tonight, but I appreciate you taking the time to come on, and we look forward to having some of that good Trey Mart vodka in Las Vegas.
Yeah, from Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
Thanks
for
gentlemen.
Having us.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
I'll tell
thank you,
you
very much.
I'm pumped.
Okay, have a nice one. We enjoyed it. That's great. Mama and Papa's. Thank you.
Great family business.
Great business.
And that's the way to do it. Do it
I
with family.
You, we got a family in this house
All
here.
Right.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the VA. We got Shad coming. Shad is upset, Leonard. He is not happy what's going on with the VA.
Well, you know, that's the whole problem that
this
happens.
This VA thing is upsetting me, and I've got a list to go to, too.
Back after the break.
Back.
Las Vegas International Press Club, the premier press club in the world. Las Vegas, Nevada is known as the Mecca for conventions, trade shows, and entertainment. Business leaders from around the world visit Las Vegas several times a year. And what do these worldwide leaders need? A place to privately conduct interviews with the press. A secure and intimate venue to dine and relax. A place to privately meet with other senior-level executives. The Las Vegas International Press Club provides all that and more. The Las Vegas International Press Club is a refined venue for intimate interviews, more privacy, more leaders, more opportunities. Find out more at lvpressclub.com. That's lvpressclub.com. Privacy, prestige, productivity. The Las Vegas International Press Club, the premier press club in the world. Learn more at lvpressclub.com.
What keeps you up at night? If you're like most people, it's those never-ending questions about your financial future, like, if I lose my job, will I have enough money in the bank? How can I save for both my kids' college and retirement? How do I protect what I've spent a lifetime building? You're looking for someone you can trust, who you can speak to throughout the year and depend upon through life's uncertainties. That person is a CPA PFS, a certified public accountant who is also a personal financial specialist, the exclusive financial planning credential for CPAs. Their unparalleled and extensive tax expertise, combined with a comprehensive knowledge of financial planning, will help you connect all aspects of your financial life. And since these all impact your taxes, no one can give better advice than a CPA, the profession with over 100 years of personal finance experience. Whether it's retiring, buying that first home, putting your kids through college, or providing for loved ones, a CPA PFS can help you not only meet your financial goals, but help you stay on the path to realize your personal dreams. So speak to one of our CPA PFS financial professionals today and sleep better tonight.
Okay, here we go. Hey, Shad, are you out there?
I'm out there,
buddy. I'll tell you, I know you're upset after all this VA stuff. I am just, you're talking to a combat vet, and I am upset like I'm not allowed. They got my mouth. They are surrounding me. They know I'm going to start cussing on the airways.
No,
I've got to calm myself down.
Take your finger off the red button there, Lawrence.
You got to take your, yeah, okay. Take the, what in the hell is going on with the VA? What is going on, Shad?
I've been involved. I started my career with the VA my first 15 years in the last, and I've been going 43 years, and what's going on is nothing. That is the problem. Nothing really goes on. It's so much smoke and mirrors, and now it's finally getting exposed. There are people that are whistleblowers. They've just seen enough, particularly with the massive overloads and claims, almost a million. And the delays in appointments with 40 veterans have died at least in one hospital, and it seems to be all over the system. It just needs to be leveled. There's no way fixing it. I've said this many times, not out in the open, but now it's time to lock and load and just say, hey, this healthcare system does not work for the veterans. You can put a 6-star general. You can put unless you have a structure that is functional, has accountability, and has pride in the, in the mission of that business, just like in any business. I mean, there's no business that could function with this type of behavior, almost criminal, there is a lot of criminal activity. I'm not trying to put that on all VA employees. I'm putting it on the leadership in these hospitals that are just so bureaucratic, they'll do anything to lighten their load and look good, has nothing to do with the client, and enough's enough. I think no one could have said it better than Friday night on the national news when that Ranger Vietnam vet, I can't think of his name, I'm so upset.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who just basically looked at Brian Williams and said, Brian says, so what should we do? How should we fix this? He says, get rid of it. You can't fix it.
Well, like I said, you serve this country, and they just put this country on the wait list so you can die.
Well, it's happening.
I know it's happening. I don't like it. You don't like it. And I wish that when they offered you that job to run the VA, Shad, I wish you would have taken it 20 years ago.
You know what? You're sitting on top. I understand why it doesn't work, because it'd be like you could be the greatest P-51 Mustang pilot in the world and have all of these medals, but you can't fly that plane and go into combat today. It's antiquated. This system is antiquated. You can put anybody on top of it because the top has really no power. He just sits and pontificates and says things, but nothing changes. It just gets worse. It's been getting worse forever. And now it's gotten to a point when we've had these two 10-year wars, plus with these large number of veterans coming in, it's finally exploded. It's popped, and the pus is oozing out of it, and all of these accusations that are being exposed to the media and the public. We're having more anger calls than help calls the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've had most of those when 2 or 3 years ago when the backlog was
almost a million people are in line. You know, you put your claim in today, Frank, and maybe in 2 years they'll look at it. This should have been stopped. You know, I hold Congress, the VA leadership, everybody responsible. This has just been going on too long. They need to hold somebody accountable. I've been to so many congressionals, Frank, and told the truth and told what was not working or whatever, and they all applaud and nothing happens. And you know, I'm it's time to speak out. I don't get funded $150 billion a year. We're such a small operation, and we're doing what the VA should be doing, handling anything and everything and trying to plug veterans, their families, their kids into the services they need. And so many of these are not in the VA. I mean, why even have it there?
I agree.
The hair on your neck is going to stand up, because I'm going to ask Frank, because we were in a meeting yesterday talking about air services from one place to the other and how the VA looks at air services. And this will, and I'm not sure, I don't think you've talked with Frank about this. This is it's an amazing tragedy. And the reality here is that there is no accountability. When you have a private sector running something, you can always have regulations in the government. And this is shut down, by the way. This type of stuff shut down Martin Luther King in South Central Los Angeles, because there's so many different tragedies going on. And then people came in and the regulators came down and shut down the hospital. You can't do that with the Veterans Administration hospitals because there is no accountability. But, Frank, why don't you share the nonsense about how they transport our veterans from here to someplace else?
I'm afraid to, because Chad will pull a hand grenade and swallow it. you will, Chad. You just blow yourself up. I mean, you understand. I mean, we was there, and to find out that not only the way they transferred the troops, but the billing cycle that she had to go through, and I think it was like 13 months for her to get paid.
It puts people out of business if you get paid like that, because you can't stay in business.
You can't stay in business.
But there are no medical people on the plane going from
right.
here to there.
There is no medical people.
Not even an LVN.
Right, not an LVN. But on top of it, these people that were not even certified. Here's the thing, that they were transferring troops, veterans, and these people were not even certified to take care of veterans. They weren't even certified LVNs or RNs. They were just people that were just...
Actually, the decision makers ought to be certified.
Right.
And committed.
I think we were transmuting illegal aliens on the plane back to Mexico. And they said, hey, you guys need a ride back. We'll throw you on the VA plane. Can you believe that, Chad?
I
saw my ex-stepfather on the plane, too. I mean, because he was a illegal alien from Mars.
Well, I think...
How do you really feel, Frank?
Well, you know, I mean, it went too far. It was just too far.
Well, and that's the point. It's ridiculous.
We're trying. The National Veterans Foundation, I mean, we are hoping to score big resources this year to open up our hotline 24/7 just to handle... and tone down the anger, because we've already had, and this is an uncomfortable area to talk about, but you know, we've had.
We got a minute to go.
And
we
didn't. Really
what's the? How do we get a hold of the National Veterans Foundation? Because we didn't get the plug in.
Simple.
What's the number?
I mean, we've had our toll free number for 26 years, 888-777-4443.
What is
our
it?
Our website is 888-777-4443. Pretty easy to remember. And our website is, you know, www.nvf for National Veterans Foundation.org. But once again, we've got a mammoth overhauling to do. We are the voice for veterans, and we've been there my whole career. I've been there both inside the VA with my first national program, the Vet Center program.
Well, keep up the good work, Chad. They're gonna pull my butt off the phone.
And it's been another unbelievable show.
Hey, we're gonna drink some vodka tonight, and
Chris
we're gonna
Hardy,
have a good time.
Train Evernickel.
Chris is gonna design the booth for
and
us
Chad
to get
to
drunk
close
in.
It out.
Okay, we're gone. Bye.
Have a great weekend, all. You're unbelievable.